content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everybody, and thank you very much, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd like to thank Juan Carlos here for keeping our show together. Thank you, Juan, brother. It's always good. Keeps the super glue, keeps us live and on air with you all. And you can also find us every Monday and Wednesday on BBS Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. There's also about 100 different other places, which, you know, it's on our site, so check it out there. If you're an expert or authority or have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we most certainly want to know about it. So all you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and check it out and fill in your information, and we will get back with you, we promise. Anyway, special guest here today. So April is out, so filling in for April is a great friend of ours, Carol Romine, and the authors of Avatar of Conscious, Awaken to Your Divine Destiny, The Extraordinary Truth About Consciousness, Creation, and Us. So let's give Carol, there you go.
Yay.
One step ahead of me, everybody. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
All right, so Carol, you know, as is on the show, we have a jam-packed show, so, you know, why don't you let us know who we got up here today?
Well, I'd like to start out by saying that we're going to welcome... Herb Sennett, who's discovered the secret to success in life. He's earned 6 college degrees in 6 different fields. Herb pursued 2 parallel careers as a full-time professor for nearly 35 years and a U.S. Army Reserve officer. All of these things he did while he was being faithful to his family, his church, and his principles. Herb is an inspiring keynote speaker and author of Death on Duval Street, Death on A1A, a Perry Savant novel, and The Reluctant General. But first up, we're going to be interviewing and spending some time with Christine Breeze, who's in pursuit of helping the world live a more metaphysical life in one with Mother Earth. Christine's got a youthful enthusiasm and vitality. She also has wisdom far beyond her years. She attributes it all to spiritual self-work she did to transcend depression, abuse, suicidal feelings, and learning how to enter the realm of joy and happiness. She's the founder of the University of Metaphysical Sciences, the largest school of its kind in the world, where students get a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree in metaphysics, studying online from all over the world. Christine is also the founder of GaiaSagrada.com retreats in Ecuador, where people can participate in shamanic ceremonies with Ecuadorian shamans, and the founder of Free Retreats for Everyone. Christine is a well-respected author, speaker, retreat facilitator. She's also a shaman conducting shamanic medicine ceremonies. Sounds like a wonderful lineup today.
Let's bring her on. Welcome back, Christine.
Hello, I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah, Christine's like quite the yeah, there you go. All right, there you go. Don't rush the stage, everybody. We have to call security. I got you covered, Christine. No worries. All right, Christine. So this is good. You know, our audience loves you. We just keep having you back and back. So, you know, I want to go to the next levels of our conversations. But for those of you just tuning in here and your first time getting to hear Christine, can you kind of give us an idea of when you actually, on the journey that you're on right now, when you actually started this for yourself? When was your spiritual journey starting to happen?
Well, let's see. I got out of high school 1983, then, and I was brought up in a very traditional Christian upbringing, but then I started branching out, wanting to study all the other world religions. First, let's see, I tried the rock and roll music scene for a while. Let's see, I'm trying to think. I would say maybe by the time I was 23 was when it really started, 22 or 23 was when it really started, where I was like, okay, now I want to see what is possible with all these religions. And I started studying all the religions to try to find what was in common between them all. And there's 2 things in common in all religions. One is a belief in a higher power of some sort or another, a bigger force, and be a good person. And pretty much anything other than that is a matter of style.
Right on.
Great. Christine, I didn't want to talk over that clapping. We got to enjoy that. I wanted to ask you a question. Was there something that triggered your personal journey personally that happened in your life that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I was in a coma for 3 days at one point. I had done a lot of healing, a lot of meditation, and a lot of self-work. But the thing that really changed everything was that I was in a coma for 3 days, and it was like a journey for 30 or 40 years on the other side. Mm-hmm. And coming back, it was almost like I had a whole lifetime on the other side. And that was really what changed it all. I basically got a chance to tour the universe, or shall I say, the mind of God. And
did you know
that? Changed everything.
Did you know you were in a coma, Christine?
I knew that I was not. I don't know if I put it together while I was over there that I was in a coma. I didn't really put that together, but when it was time to come back, I realized I was in a coma and I didn't want to come back. I was like, hey, why would I want to go back there? That's a primitive species.
when you're there, let's call it there, like, can you give us a perspective, like, from your perspective, what there looked like for you?
It was very dreamlike. They're all astral worlds. All of these, even this one, are all astral worlds. They're basically thoughts in the mind of God. And I got to see all these different ideas for a reality and the species within that reality and the experiences within that reality. And it wasn't all about a species either. And it's not just human species. It was many, many different forms. The whole idea is for God's consciousness to be in the form while it's dreaming. This whole thing is happening inside the mind of God. It's all God dreaming. Every single one of us is literally a thought in the mind of God.
I think that's really, really interesting, Christine, because everything is consciousness. That's what I've found in my experiences. So when you're mm-hmm. talking about that, did you have direct interaction over there where there was some kind of facilitation of what your life's been like, any direction that you were receiving or interaction directly that related to your life? As far as, were you viewing experiences? Were you getting input from the mind of God, from angels? I'd like to know a little bit about that, if you'd care to share that.
Oh, yeah. It was a school. It was a major training. I was kind of taken around by guides who showed me everything that I really needed to know. And in fact, I couldn't retain all of it at the conscious level, but it comes up when I need it from the from the unconscious level. And it was, for instance, the guides would take me to a different reality and show me how it works, show me what the parameters were. And I would get to walk in that reality a little bit. Sometimes I would get to visit and be part of that reality and learn what's going on there. What they were showing me is how God's mind works, really, and why it's dreaming all of this, which is basically just self-growth. Great. God is trying to find out who it is.
And is that what's carried over for you as far as your desire being experiencing the coma and coming back and really realizing that you had to grow and really gather all of this information to help other people understand who they are and how to really experience life?
Let's put it this way. It changed my perspective.
Okay.
Before the coma, I was more like a struggling human trying to heal, and one struggling human trying to heal, helping other struggling humans how to heal. Mm-hmm. When I came back, it was more, I could see this whole thing from the perspective of eternal self, this divine consciousness that we all are, that never was born and never dies, and this life is just three blinks of an eye in the eternity when you're in the perspective of eternal self. So it's also not as serious as it seems. But it helped me have a perspective that it gave me a lot of insight into this whole reality and why it's here and how it works and what people are really trying to do here, which is God growing, really.
Christine, I want to make sure I'm reading this right from the show notes, but were you in the wilderness alone for 6 years?
Yes.
You were. Okay, what was that experience? Why, first of all, and then what was the experience?
Well, after that experience, the coma thing happened before the wilderness. And after that experience, it was really hard to reintegrate into this reality because, I mean, this was such an otherworldly experience, literally. And to come back and just be a human was kind of hard. And I still had all this programming from childhood that I had to work out. So I felt, all right, the best way to do this is not be holding a job 9 to 5, trying to pay rent and bills and everything, and not having time to work on myself. And I don't want to be homeless in a city, so it'd be better to be in those million-dollar nature views in the mountains and the canyons and the beaches and the deserts and all these places that I got to be. And so my plan was originally to do a 6-month vision quest. I was just going to go out and fix all this stuff, right? Do all this programming, reprogramming. And then I was going to come back and pick up where I left off. Well, it turned out it was a much bigger job than I thought it was going to be. And so I would go into the wilderness about 6 months at a time, somewhere between 3 and 6 months, depending on how much food I could carry or how long it lasted. And then I'd come back out, borrow a guitar from somebody and play on the street corner for a couple days, and then go back in the wilderness after I made some money. Because back then in the 80s and the 90s, food was much cheaper. And I would go back out into the wilderness and then I just basically set up my camp and then would hike in different directions from there for 2 weeks. And then I'd set up another camp and hike from there in different directions and basically just meditate all day. And it wasn't just about hiking. Sometimes I just sat in one place and watched the sun come out, up, and watched the sun go down, watched the grass grow, watched the animals, the symbols, and
Christine, did
the
you
communication
ever,
from nature.
Did you ever feel alone out there?
It was interesting. The first week, I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm out here just walking in the wilderness by myself. And then the second week, I was like, oh, geez, I wish I had somebody to talk to. And then the third week, I was like, oh, my God, I'm really crazy. And then the fourth week, everything started calming down. And I was like, all right, I'm here. It's me, myself, and I. And I just decided, all right, to get down to work. And then by the second month in the wilderness, my spiritual abilities started to open up because there were no distractions from society. Back then, there was no such thing as internet. There was no television. There was no phone calls. There was no bills to pay. I could just really focus on my inner work. So it sped everything up for the spiritual powers to come. And I started being able to communicate with the trees and the animals and the earth and the water. I started to be able to see the auras, and it just started there. And then I was starting to be able to download all this wisdom from the God Self. So in a way, the coma was a sneak peek at what the consciousness can do. And then I had to come back and rewire the human consciousness and the human body to hold what I had experienced. So,
wow. So, oh, well, there you go. It looks like we have our producer saying we have to take a quick break, a word from our sponsor. So hang tight, everybody, more with Christine when we get back. Internationally known eternal life coach Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the Miracle Working Card A Day Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 Miracle Working Cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com.
Warning: radical new information about the death of Jesus told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. We are with our dear friend Christine Breeze. And Carol, I know you've been just fascinated with Christine. I know we're talking about it on the break, so I'm going to just let you dive right in and ask away.
Yeah, I'm always curious about how people discover their animal totems, because a lot of people go and look in the books, but I do know several people that have had experiences where they've revealed themselves to them. Christine, did you have an experience like that, or is there anything you can relate to about that?
Oh, yes. Totem animals are usually, it's an animal that you have some kind of connection with. That's the first thing. And then the other thing is that sometimes what happens is an animal shows itself to you at a special time in your life or a special moment when it shows something. It shows itself to you. It says, hey, I'm your totem animal. And
okay,
you kind of know when this is going to when this is happening, because there's literally a communication, like the animal looks at you or the animal is present with you at a time when you're having a difficult moment or maybe an enlightening moment. Basically look for the animals that show you themselves to you, and that show themselves to you more than once.
Okay, I've had experiences where that's happened, and it's almost like telepathy sometimes. And mm-hmm. I think the audience needs to understand that it's all about really paying more attention to your environment, because universe is trying to speak to them, but we're not listening. So I think that that's a really important point, Christine, because then we learn that we pay more attention. So I think that that's really interesting, and your animal totems were revealed to you. Is that what got you interested in the shamanic practices that you went into, just being out in the wilderness and with nature and finding that peace and quiet within your soul?
Well, shamanism always had an interest to me before that, and I started with the shamanic path when I was 19, mm-hmm. and I found that these altered states of consciousness that the medicines put you in, I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's the next religion, because it puts you so in direct touch with the God within you. I don't think there's any other faster way to do it or more potent way to do it. You'd have to meditate for 20 years to get to this point of really discovering the divine within you and being able to just let go of everything that's in the way of that.
Well, that's sort of
and so,
Timothy Leary's work. When you really study that, what you're saying is that it opens up the mind and the consciousness. So I think that that's real. I've had people that have followed shamanic practices that couldn't really have their own relationship with themselves and universe without those drugs.
That's a mistake if that happens, because the way I see it is these are just spiritual tools. The shamanic medicines are only spiritual tools. They are not the path. They are not the spirituality. Because what they are, in my opinion, is a preview to what you can do with your consciousness. There's a 2-hour movie, right? well, these medicines are like a 1.5 minute look at what you can really do with your consciousness, because I can go way further with meditation now than I ever could with the medicines. The medicines were profound in the beginning, and it was a really important thing for me to see that there was a heck of a lot more than meets the eye than I was able to see with my physical eyes or my mind or whatever. But once I was able to experience those realms, then I knew what I was aiming for with the meditation. But the meditation gives me the chance to soul travel, to dimensional walk, to astral project, to lucid dream. The meditation is what really takes you all the way. The medicines are just a peak. They're small peak.
And the medicine you're referring to, would that be the ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca, San Pedro, magic mushrooms, peyote. There's many of these. LSD, I call it the sky medicine.
So it just kind of kickstarts you.
You know, Christine, I tell you, you know, you could always be on air. Everybody loves your conversation. I tell you. So let me ask you this.
Well, you know, everybody loves psychedelics.
Oh, they love it. I mean, yeah, that's it. You hit the trigger there. So let's go to the next phase here. And I know in the interest of time, before we bring on our next guest, I'd like to kind of get an idea. You know, you got this University of Metaphysical Sciences where people can get certified. What kind of careers, if you would, can someone, when someone goes to your school, what kind of careers can they embark upon or be certified for?
Well, it's something you have to make your own niche. It's not like you're going to find an ad in the paper that says metaphysical meditation pro needed. I mean, you're not going to find hiring meditation professionals. So you have to create yourself in a way. What it does is it gives you more credibility to your work. A lot of people will become spiritual counselors. A lot of people add it to a counseling degree they already have and give it another parameter. A lot of people start a center. They start classes. They start writing. They use, a lot of times, the PhD is needed for writing a book and having credibility for writing your book. And basically, it's for all these people like ourselves who want to help others to have credibility for what they're doing, because anybody could write a book, or anybody can teach a class, or anybody can be a spiritual counselor. But if you have a degree saying that you studied with that and you know something about what you're doing, it lets the other people know that you know what you're talking about, because life is really where you get your PhD. This is where you really learn how
PhD
to help people.
Life. Yep, got it. So let's talk...
But the PhD is for other people to believe you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, so those three letters there that are just so, so important for so many people. So when's your next retreat coming up?
Well, we're in a retreat right now here in Ecuador at Gaia Sagrada Retreat Center. We're doing a shamanic retreat right now here. I have a free meditation retreat, which isn't with medicine, up in Tucson, Arizona on February 15th. You could go to freeretreatsforall.com to get that one, GaiaSagrada.com to see the shamanic retreats. And then we're probably going to add a few more this year for the free meditation thing. Depends on where I'm going to be in the States at any given time. But the ayahuasca and the San Pedro ceremonies, the retreats here at Gaia Sagrada, are running all year. They're running all the time.
That's awesome.
And they're always full, so book ahead.
Book ahead, everybody. Book ahead. All right, Christine, where can everybody get a hold of you, find out about you, learn more about the retreats, the university, everything?
Well, the best thing to do is get on the email list at either GaiaSagrada.com if you're interested in shamanic medicine, and then University of Metaphysical Sciences, which is metaphysicsuniversity.com. Just get on those email lists, and then you'll get all our announcements and everything that we do. And I also have YouTube videos, Christine Breese. Just search for Christine Breese on YouTube, and you'll find a bunch of videos talking about the stuff I talk about.
And there's a bunch of subscribers there for her. Check it out, everybody. She's got some great stuff. Christine, thank you very, very much. It's always a privilege and pleasure.
Thank you so much, Christine. It was really interesting. I appreciate you out there.
Thank you.
Makes it more fun.
I really
fun.
Love you guys and your show. It's so fun.
Oh, thanks a lot. Tell your friends. All right.
I will.
All right, cool. All right, everybody. That's Christine Breese. So make sure you check it out at GaiaSagrada.com. That's GaiaSagrada.com. Get on the email list so you can get up-to-date information about what's happening in Christine's world. Okay, let's talk about our next guest, right, Herb?
Okay, we've got Herb coming up, and we did a little brief intro, but I think we need to introduce him again.
Yeah,
so
let's
everybody
do it again.
Gets ready for
yeah,
him.
Repetition is good,
I
right?
Because I know I'm interested in it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so Herb Sennett discovered the secret to success in life. He's earned 6 college degrees in 6 different fields. He's pursued 2 parallel careers as a full-time professor for nearly 35 years and a U.S. Army Reserve officer. All of these things he did while being faithful to his family, his church, and his principles. Herb is an inspiring keynote speaker and author of Death on Duval Street, Death on A1A, a Perry Savant novel, and The Reluctant General.
All right, Herb, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Herb.
Hey, thank you.
How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Okay, so you say that you can change your life into what you want to be. How does one go about doing that?
Wow. That's what my lectures are all about. It's what you call 5 easy lessons and 27 hard ones.
Yep, got it. Okay.
I think I'm on number 24.
Are you on 24?
Okay. Yeah.
Everything begins at a point where you come to the realization that you are in control of your own life and your own emotions, and that you can control those no matter what other people tell you or what other people may think about you or their particular opinions. I love it when I was going through some pretty rough times 30 years ago or more, 35 years ago. My daughter was having a difficult time with drugs and alcohol, and I ended up going to Al-Anon to deal with, find out, you know, what's going on with me, because I was in terrible shape. And I realized that, number one, I can't control my daughter. Oh, try telling that to any parent. I mean, I had a lot of difficulty with that until it finally sunk in. I really can't. I can't make her be or do anything. All I can do is be a good example as best as I possibly can. And what's amazing is I watched as I pulled back and just started working on myself and trying to make me the best Herb Sennett can possibly could be.
That's really great. You know, sitting here listening to it, Herb, the one thing that comes to mind for me is, especially when you're dealing with something like that, is the ability to not just work on yourself, but maybe to learn how to let go and how to just let it all flow to where it needs to flow or whatever your principles are. Because I think a lot of us that have issues with family members or friends, that's one of the things we're dealing with. We're not just dealing with ourselves. We're dealing with how they impact our lives. So did you experience how to actually release from all of that as far as your daughter?
Oh, my daughter and my son. Now, my son, on the other hand, he's... went in an entirely different direction. At 10 years old, he started, when he was selected to be one of the crossing guards, I think it was maybe 11 or 12. Anyway, he was a safety patrol guy at his elementary school, and he was a safety patrol as a crossing guard. And he realized that if he took some individually wrapped candy with him, that he could sell candy to those kids who are standing there.
Uh-oh.
a captured audience, so to speak. And he started his first business that way. Today, he and his wife run 5 internet stores and are beyond successful.
Right on.
Wonderful.
They make more money in a year than I ever thought about making in a career.
Oh, so. Good for them. Good for them. Good for them.
But I will tell you, this. I was, fascinated with myself in discovering that many years ago, when I decided to be a teacher, that I also decided to be poor the rest of my life.
Well, hold that thought for me, because we got to get a word in from our sponsor, or else we're going to be poor on this side. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight. More with Herb. Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org.
Shira Plotsky is an internationally sought-out psychic reader, psychic medium, and pet communicator. Clients from around the globe describe the experience as insightful, uplifting, extremely powerful, and very accurate. With 25 years' experience in tarot cards and numerology, her insight will reveal many things that will transform your life. Can't visit her in person? No problem. She's available on Skype. Non-believers and skeptics are always welcome. One session with Shira will change your life. Go to shirasplace.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. We are here with Mr. Herb Sen. Hey, so Herb, you know, you spent, oh my gosh, it's been how many years in the military?
I had a total of 28.
28, and then you became a chaplain right after that, right? Or was that during that period?
No, sir. No, sir. I was a chaplain while in the Army Reserves.
While you were in the... Oh, first of all, thank you for your service. Thank you very much. That was really great stuff. Yes.
I appreciate it. How that happened was I went to Vietnam as an infantry officer. I was trained at the infantry school and the special warfare school before I went overseas. So, in other words, I was a trained killer.
All right. Okay.
Thank goodness, and maybe... really thank God above, that I personally never actually killed anyone.
That's good.
That I absolutely know of. Many of my colleagues, though, did and suffered some real blowback from that on a psychological level. Several of them I actually sat down and helped them. Now, please understand, I was raised in the church. Unlike some other people, when I got older, I embraced my Christian upbringing and felt very close to God the whole time I was over there. In fact, carried a Bible, New Testament Bible, in my breast pocket over my heart. Not that that was anything magical, but I had it with me no matter where I was, and I could pull it out, I could read it for assurance. And other people that I was working with over there, I think kind of sensed that in a way, and they came to me and talked to me about some of the problems they were going through. So I never had that side of PTSD. I did have... though the psychological thing about they're out there trying to kill me kind of things, wherever I went, I knew I was a walking target of some kind. So I had a lot of that kind of issues, those kind of issues to deal with. And my wonderful wife of now 52 years was always there for me. She was so patient and she helped me. So so many things just contributed to my actually discovering and understanding that the power to be happy is not out there. It's inside me.
Thank
it's my attitude
That's
toward
really
life.
You know, Herb, I wanted to ask you something because you sort of dove into this before the break and then you left us hanging. So it's all about when you, especially when you're a chaplain or when your spirit reaches you where you really want to be of service and you want to have a life of service, whether it's spiritual, religious, or you mentioned teaching, and then you get into maybe having to sacrifice the money. So what is it that you were going into where you figured that you'd really love to have a life of teaching, but you weren't going to really be making the money? How did that change?
Oh boy, how does that really change? Well, oftentimes, to use the old saying, life happens. And at the time, I was trying to figure out my exact path that I would go. I had was right at the end of finishing my first master's degree in theater at the University of Memphis. And I was looking at and discussing very seriously with several professional theaters in Chicago about moving there and starting work as a theatrical scenic designer and lighting designer. And that would have then been the stepping stone for me to go to Broadway, even out to Hollywood, to work on sets for movies as well as other theatrical kinds of adventures, wherever they needed people in design work and in costuming and in lighting design especially.
You know, Herb, but I'm listening between the lines, and this is what I think you're saying to me and to the audience, is that life kind of, if you have your faith and if you trust and if you believe in the guidance, then you'll get put where you need to go based on what your object is and how you want to live your life. Am I picking up on that correctly, or how can you correct me?
I'm not 100%, but yes. One event.
Okay.
My daughter was born at the same time all of this was going on with me. Mm-hmm. And I realized I did not have the time to go somewhere and work at a literally nothing paying job, hoping to hit it big. I had to start making good money right away. And so I accepted my first position teaching in high school. And I did that for 5 years before then deciding that there was more there. That's when I went to seminary. And after seminary, I was recruited back into the Army to be an Army Reserve chaplain. And that also was about the same time that I came to West Palm Beach, Florida, to start my career in 1985 as a college professor. And I just retired a couple of years ago.
Now, are you still a chaplain? I mean, practicing chaplain?
Not a practicing chaplain. I'm fully retired. I do it for friends or people who need my help, and it's obvious that they need to help. I don't charge anything anymore for that kind of service. I'm just there for people I know. However, I have opened a website, which is not part of what you guys are talking about, but I think it would fit in. I wasn't sure.
Throw it in
exactly
there, man. Throw it in there. It's all good.
We're always open.
I'm going to throw it in there. It's called lovinglifefully.com.
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 How can you go wrong with that? I love it.
And what that is my writings about every possible subject. See, I have that master's degree in theater. Also carried what was actually a master's degree in speech communications. I just threw some theater courses, design courses in there because it was all in the same department at that time. That was a long time ago, folks. And but then I went on to get a PhD in theater arts as well as a Master of Fine Arts in theater acting and directing. So I've got a strong background in theater, but in performance in particular. And my specialty field really has ended up being what you would call performance studies. I help people, especially politicians. I'm working with a couple of politicians right now in helping them to build and work and find their voice, to find their how to handle themselves in front of a large group of people. My favorite subject to teach in college was the the most feared course of any college student. That is speech.
Speech. Yeah. So what about, tell us about your Loving Life Fully organization.
LovingLifeFully.com is a part of Herbert Sennett LLC, and it's where I reach out and I help people, and I've haven't published yet, but I've got three books that I'm working on. The first one is going to be called Take a Chance on Happiness, which just simply builds on the premise that you can make up your mind to be happy. And then once you've made up your mind, here are some things you can do. And the book is full of things to try, to experiment with, to think about, to look at, to consider. It's not a roadmap. It is a simple suggestion of some things that work for me might not work for you, but it's all part of, okay, I've made up my mind. Now, how can I develop that concept and that feeling, that understanding within my own self? I think every human being is different, and there's no path, one path. Well, I take that back. In my way of thinking, there's one path to God, but that's just my opinion on there. But there's no one answer for everybody. I appreciated the lady that you spoke to earlier in the program. She had some excellent ideas and thoughts there that just, I was sitting, wow, you know, I'm glad I'm not the only person that's realizing this. In a sense, you do have to find your own way, and you have to be comfortable with it.
Yes. That's good. That's
otherwise, you won't follow it.
And it sounds like that you're showing people that happiness is a choice that they have to make. That's the first choice that you have to make, is that you want to be happy, and then you go from there.
And speaking of that, I think way too many people in this world are caught in a trap. And that trap is the thought that's buried inside themselves, I don't deserve to be happy.
Exactly.
And that is so totally untrue, mm-hmm. but I love it when, I can't remember who, I read it somewhere or said it, I heard someone say one time that as human beings, we have a tendency to tell ourselves lies and then turn around and believe those lies as truth.
You know what?
That's insane.
You know, we're getting near the ending of our story. Can you tell us a little bit about what you'd like to leave our audience with, some final thoughts on how they can really, and other ways, the best way for them to get a hold of you, learn more about you?
First of all, herbsennett.com, authorherbsennett.net, lovinglifefully.com, and my books, all three of my books, each of them deal with real life in a fun and fictional way, but also shows how spirituality ties into everything we do.
I'm sure we all look forward to that.
Right on, Herb. Thank you very much.
And
again, thank you very, very much for your service. It's an honor. It's a privilege to get to interview you here today. Thank you for that. And I'd also like to thank Christine Breeze again for being on here, and also our good friend Carol Romine for stepping up today.
Thank you
very much. So keeping the dream alive, right?
We're moving through the dream,
all
just
right.
Like Christine said.
That's right. That's right. So everybody, hope you enjoyed it, because we most certainly did on this end. And I'm going to try to do it like April does. But what does she say? She says something along the lines of, anyway, it ends like this. May all your dreams come true. I think she does a better job. But anyway, we'll see you next
that's
time.
That's why everybody. You need her.
There you go, everybody. There
all
you
right.
go. We'll see you all next time.
Thank you for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. I look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Do we really exist? Is life but a flame, a star burning out? things have changed for me. I look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear the dolphins cry. I look up and I just don't know why. Have we lost our way? Will we be here another day? Are these the end of days? Will we be here to mend our ways? And I see stars came out for me. Will they move tonight and prove that we are right? Life is everywhere.